It is August 19th, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of Gerwick.net. That's G-E-R-W-E-C-K.net. And tonight it's part two with Diana Hart. We had such a great response from the first interview. We've invited her back, and we appreciate your time tonight.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. I'm thrilled.
Well, we do appreciate it. And as I said, we got great response from emails, Facebook, Twitters, and, of course, we'll plug Diana's social media. And up front, I wanted to mention that if you want to book Diana, or if you want to book her son, Harry Smith, D.H. Smith, you can contact DianaHartBookings@gmail.com, and she'll make sure that Harry, for sure, would get those bookings. And I know at this point that he's probably getting a lot of phone calls for bookings and future matches.
Yeah, he's getting booked all over the world right now. He's got some dates, and I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but he has some dates for the United Kingdom, Ireland, Germany. I do know the dates. He's in Japan. He's there at the end of August for Inoki's Genome Federation, and I know Josh Barnett from Strikeforce. He's also on that tour. Harry's also doing he's on that same tour as Harry, but I guess someone's just informed me he's doing a show tomorrow in New York. Oh, it's an appearance. Sorry. That's my daughter, Georgia's just letting me know he's doing an appearance in New York tomorrow. Let's see. I also can tell you he's got a big show with Billy Corgan at the end of November. It's Saturday, the last Saturday of November in Chicago, and my nephew Ted, Teddy Hart, he's on the show also. And I don't know if Ted's wrestling against Harry or they're in, in a tag or what. I don't know. It would be amazing to see them wrestle each other because they have I have seen them, they have excellent matches, stuff you have never seen before, but I'm not saying that it's too crazy either. Like, it's not, Ted is a very, intense wrestler, and Harry is too, but Ted's known for his, high-flying moves, but he also can have a very solid, technical match. And I think if fans ever saw that, Ted and Harry against each other in that style, they would be in for a very, it would be a wrestling, as Jim Ross says, a wrestling clinic. So, but that's about it for what I know about Harry's bookings right now. It's a bit vague.
I'll ask you up front about Teddy, because I was going to ask you last interview about Teddy Hart. And of course, he had a couple of tries with WWE each time they ended up releasing him. How's he doing today? I know he was wrestling at least at one time in Mexico.
Yeah.
So how's he doing today? And does he have any like real aspirations of getting back with WWE?
I think right now Ted is not in Mexico. That was the last place where he was for a long-term basis. He was there with Jack Evans. And I noticed Jack Evans was doing some appearances on TNA, which is Impact Wrestling now. So I'm not sure if they're headed back to Mexico together again or not. But he's been just doing independent shows. And he's just had some bad luck with timing and stuff. Like he was supposed to go back to Japan the week that nuclear explosion.
Yeah,
it was just horrible. And they canceled everything, and then they never really put the pieces back together. No, I don't know what promotion he was going over there for either, but that was unfortunate. I know Harry's going over there now for some, for Inoki's promotion, and I'm just surmising it was maybe a smaller promotion that just couldn't, get the pieces put back together again after that, after it fell apart the first time. But I don't think he's interested in going back to WWF at the moment with Harry not being there and, a lot of uncertainty there with I don't know if they would know what to do with Ted if they couldn't find a place for Harry. And they don't seem to be doing a whole lot with Tyson Kidd either, with TJ. So I'm not sure. I mean, I just think that they would not understand Ted. He's like, in my opinion, he's so far above. he's kind of a, he's like a kaleidoscope sort of. And, you know, if you just turn it too fast, you know, you just glance at it, you don't really appreciate what's there. And I don't think that WWE gave, even though he was signed with them, you know, on more than one occasion, I don't think they really gave him a fair chance when I've seen them let guys go for other reasons or that seemed a lot, like when they let Ted go the last time, I don't know if it was quite a, I just think they were looking for any reason to release him, and I just didn't think it was fair because he was really trying, and that they had, you know, made him jump very high, and he was doing the high jumping for them. And I'm not saying Ted needed to be given special treatment or anything like that, but the things that they asked him to do that they didn't think he could do, like the, it's kind of like a kid being put on a diet and he follows everything on the diet exactly, but he did one, you know, put his shoes on the wrong feet that day, and then they said, oh, well, yeah, that's it, you're out of here. And it's like, what? I don't know, I just thought it was a bit, because Ted's a very emotional person. He takes, I just feel, felt and still feel bad for him, for how, he's such a good wrestler, and, you know, but there's apparently a reason for everything, so maybe what's happened with Harry also, not understanding why they let him go either, but maybe it's so he and Ted can have this match with Billy Corgan at promotion at the end of November, or, you know, Steve, there's just so many, possibilities now that Harry's got some, freedom to,
you know, sticking with the family. Your niece, Natty, Natalia, was wondering what your thought is on how they use her. Obviously, they had a Hart Foundation with Harry and TJ. Just wonder how, you know, in general, what's your thoughts on how they use her?
I don't understand that either. I don't want to appear to be too much of an ignoramus here, but I just don't get that either with Natalia. Her WWE diva name. She is a beautiful girl, and she's so good with the fans. You know, if they want to turn her into a villain or whatever, she's so flawless with her, like an honor student, and she's the only third generation female wrestler that I'm aware of. I when they had her, Natalia, TJ, Tyson, and DH, Harry, TJ, and Natty, with the Hart Dynasty, and they were wrestling the Usos, and Jimmy Snuka's daughter was the diva on the other team. Why they didn't put more into the, you know, programming of that. I mean, the Usos and the Hart Dynasty were having great matches, and Natty and Tamina.
Yeah.
Like my dad here, when I get the names wrong, it's like, it's sort of a, not intentional, I just get wound up and I can't get the names right, but Tamina was a good match for Natty. And they didn't do anything there. Natalie and Beth Phoenix could have had some great matches against each other when they switched Beth to a villain, and they didn't want to do anything there. Yet they'll put people in there that are 100 pounds that couldn't. They're not. To me, they're not convincing. They're not even convincing athletes. I'm not. It's not just because Natalie's my niece. It's, she deserves better than what she's been given there. And she's tried and tried and tried. And when they gave her the, well, when she won the Women's World Championship title, I don't know what they call it there now.
Divas title?
The Divas title.
Right.
She didn't, they didn't really do much with her, kind of likewise with Harry and TJ when they had the tag belts. They didn't really do a whole lot with them either. And you and I discussed this in the last interview about how the tag team division has just gone so far down since the days of Hart Foundation and the Bulldogs, and going ahead a few more years with Davey and Owen, and even like the Smoking Guns and
Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees. Yeah, the Wild Samoans.
Demolition. Strike Force.
Demolition. Yeah, Strike Force was a very good.
Yeah, they had some really good tag teams back in the 80s, 90s even.
Yeah, it's just, I don't get it. And I just, a few months ago, oh, it was a few weeks ago in July, Davey's niece, his sister Joanne's daughter, was here from England. And she's quite a stunning young lady. She's 16 and, tall. She's about 5'8", and she's long, sort of it's like Jennifer Aniston's hair color, sort of a honey blonde, and a beautiful girl. She could definitely do modeling. She's a stunning girl. You wouldn't think she was 16. She's not built like a stick either. She's a very attractive, and I took her to the FCW show in down here in Tampa to meet Steve Kern, and I honestly thought when he knew that she was Davey's niece and when he saw her, he would have just at least said, I'm glad glad to meet you, and your uncle was a great wrestler or something. But he just was so indifferent. I was like, if this is the direction that the wrestlers are being led in now, it just seems like such a dead end. He said to her quite coldly, well, I'll tell you, first of all, we don't want any athletes. The females are supposed to be as non-athletic as possible. WWE does not want athletes for their divas. And if you have one wrinkle or dimple on your skin, you're out. And we are not even interested in you until you're 18. And I said, well, is there anything you could, I knew she wouldn't be working for them, but I thought at 16 he could say, we'll definitely keep in touch, or it's really good to meet you, or we always love meeting future prospects, or something at least hopeful. And I wasn't bringing in some, I don't know what direction they want, like Karma, doesn't fit that description at all, or Bertha Faye, or but they I know they had a reason for bringing that type in, but Shelby's I'm not looking for any favors either, or you got to give her a job because she's Davey's niece. I almost thought that it was because she was Davey's niece that he was so put out to even meet her. And it's like, what gives here? I think that's your advice to give her, is don't be an athlete. Like, okay, maybe what are things then that non-athletes do? I guess they would smoke and be as unhealthy as possible, and non-athletes wouldn't, like, to me, an athlete, an athletic horse or an athletic animal or mammal, I guess, is something that is quite beautiful. Like, I think a Secretariat or Nadia Comaneci or Davey or my dad or Lance Armstrong, athletes that are in their maybe in their 80s that are still working out and trying to keep healthy. To me, it's I just thought that that was something attractive. And when he said we are not looking, we want non-athletes for our divas, non-athletic, it really bothered me. But I don't know if he was just put out that, you know, I just, to me, it sent a really, really bad message for the direction of women's entertainment in the squared circle. I don't even know what to call it anymore. And it made me wonder where Natty is headed. I mean, she can modify herself. She's very versatile, and she'll modify herself to whatever they want, but she really tries way harder than she's given credit for. And she goes above and beyond what, and they don't do anything with her. I don't see them putting Natalie on Dancing with the Stars or on any runways or doing you know, special appearances on talk shows or, and she's so smart and so funny, and plus her pedigree. I just, it's like, well, you know, I guess
she's very down to earth.
Yeah,
she's a real person, you know. That's,
yeah, she is.
And that's how she comes off. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away from the divas that are there, or but she's, Natty is very special. She's really, I've seen her in, like, at Busch Gardens, where somebody from another country, like Germany, has spotted her. And Natty can make have a very good conversation with them, and they don't even speak the same language, but they recognized her, and they're communicating, but she tries really hard, and she's a smart girl. Like, she's insightful, and she would never say anything to hurt, that would be damaging. You know, she's very, cautious. But she is down to earth. I mean, she's not insincere when I say she's just very cautious, and, you know, they just never give her a chance. It's not like, well, don't put Natalie on the microphone because she might, you know, she might start swearing, or she might get into, go on a rant, or, you know, she's just, to me, she's just like the top drawer of, I just think she's, underutilized for sure, and I don't know why. If it's because you need a certain look, then they should. Then why are some of the divas in there at all? Then if they are all supposed to look the same way, then why are any of them in there? Why are they? Why do they even have different hair color then? Like, oh, you know, well, we want a bit of versatility. It's like, you know, we want different colors, different hair colors, different heights. It's like, well, okay, is Natalie, you know, what is it about Natalie then that it doesn't fit? You know, is she too short? Okay, well, you have girls that are that height. Well, is she too tall? Okay, you have girls that are that height. Was she too big? Well, you have girls that are that size. Is she, you know, not the right color? Well, you have the girls that are that color. You know, they're all tanned. They're all, you know, I'm just kind of going on a rant here. Speaking of rants, I'm sorry about that, Steve. I just get aggravated though with Natalie, because she, not with her, but with how underutilized she is. I know it would break my dad's heart to see how
underutilized she is.
Yeah, I just,
yeah. We were curious how her father's doing, Jim Neidhart, because I know he had a couple brushes with the law recently, and is he doing better now?
Yeah, he's doing quite well. I believe that all the charges were dropped against him.
Oh, good.
And funny, like, some of the charges they had like, they were, one was he was driving a stolen car. Well, the car actually wasn't stolen. It was a car that Natalie had given to her mom, and her mom was driving it, and Jim had borrowed it, but it was in under Natty's and TJ. It was in their name, and so the police, you know, they were really looking for things. Or the day that he got, you know, arrested, that was, you know, things like, you know, car theft. And when you hear it on on the internet, or, you know, car theft, that's pretty bad. But it's like, well, no, he didn't steal any car. He was borrowing his daughter's car, but it wasn't registered to him. So, you know, he's doing really well. He's doing personal training here in Tampa, and he does a bunch of independents. I think he was on a show in Atlanta, 2 weeks ago, and Dallas Page was with him, and he's raving about Dallas Page. And the first time I met Dallas Page was in Atlanta for WrestleMania, and I didn't know what a nice guy he was, and I had always heard good things about him, but I didn't know he was so approachable until I talked to him in person. And anyway, he must have given Jim a motivational talk, because Jim was quite inspired when he got home. But he's doing really well. He's still as strong as an ox. You know, Davey always admired that about Jim. Like, he was in awe of it. And my dad, Harry, too. They'll see Jim go into a training facility, and he'll just, like, load up the bench press, you know, like, about 400 pounds cold, and he'll just bench it. Like, he'll do it once and put it down, and then I don't know, you know, that he'd have it in him to do it 10 times or anything, but he can do, like, amazing strongman lifts, you know, one time or maybe two. I'm not sure what, but he's like, don't underestimate Big Jim, because he's kind of blow you away when it's like, my gosh, that guy just, you know, he's still it's the same old Jim. He's very, you know, you have to know him, you know. He's got a new kitten right now that was a feral kitten that's taken to Jim. And it's actually quite sweet, because he follows Jim around everywhere and plays with Jim's beard. But Jim named her Sheba, I think he named her Sheba. And but it's really quite cute to see a big guy like that with this little kitten.
Honestly, he's a softie.
He is. It's like, geez, who saved who here? But the little kitten is... I guess when Jim opens the refrigerator, the kitten goes right in, and Jim will pull out the bottom drawer, and then the kitten puts his two paws on the crisper or whatever for the vegetables, and pokes his head in and looks around. But Jim, I don't know if he taught her that or what, but he is so proud of this kitten for doing that little trick. It's, anyway, we're animal nuts in our family, so... To us, that's like, you know, I don't know, like a gifted baby playing the violin or something. But anyway, Jim is doing fine. You know, he's I guess just don't for anyone that thinks he's retired or anything. He's not. He still does bookings whenever and wherever he. They're fewer and farther between for the older guys, it seems, but, you know, he's
still out there.
Yeah.
Do you have any updates on, how, Dynamite Kid is doing?
Oh, yeah. You know, Harry went, when he was in England, I don't know how he did this. I guess he was on a WWE or, yeah, he went to see Davey's dad, got in touch with a neighbor, because they are all still on the same, Davey's dad and some of the relatives are still on the same street, but Dynamite lives in about 45 minutes away from there. But he asked one of the neighbors if he knew where Dynamite lived, and he knew where he's living now, and he took Harry over there. Oh, I remember. Dynamite's daughter was there, too. She had flown over from Calgary, his daughter Bronwyn, and she hadn't seen her dad in many years, I guess since he left Calgary. So it was probably, I don't know, 2010 was when they saw him, and when she last saw him was probably 1990, maybe. So
wow.
20 years, maybe. And Harry has always been in close with Bronwyn, so he had been in touch with her, and she said, my dad said if you wanted to come by and see him, if you could get a ride. So Harry went over and saw him, and he made Harry a cup of tea, and he was quite the gentleman with Harry, and I think it was a very nice ice-breaking moment, because it just like so much time had gone by since he had seen anyone, and then it's like the more time that goes by, time of course heals things, but also I think Tom or Dynamite maybe thought so much time had gone by that he was forgotten, and that isn't the case, but he was, I think he was touched that Harry went over to see him, and he's, you know, quite, you know, his body is pretty worn out now. He's not what you would remember him, not how you would remember him, but he's
still in a wheelchair?
Yeah. He's in a wheelchair. He can stand up for short periods of time, like lean on the counter to pour a cup of tea, but he can't really, I don't know if he could walk across a room. Like maybe he can, but, Harry said he was trying to, sweep something up off the floor, and he just stayed in his wheelchair and swept it up. And but my daughter Georgia went to see him, which was a few months later. She went unannounced, and he was, I think, because Georgia, Harry looks so much like his dad too, but Georgia looks even more like Davey because she has the dark curly hair, which Davey had before he got it brush cut short. And but I guess he was very emotional when he saw Georgia, and maybe it's a guy thing where I think he was, you know, he got a little bit more emotional when he saw Georgia in any case, but that has all led up to my brother Brett being in touch with Dynamite and my brother Smith, and I don't know, you know, just if he's quite, you know, if he's ready to, you know, see the world or where it is right now with him, but I think he was really glad to know that so many, from talking to Brett and Harry and Georgia and probably his daughter, that he is definitely not forgotten, and what he did in wrestling is kind of, in my opinion, it's immortalized him and Davey. They're, you know, had a certain style that revolutionized a lot of what we were seeing in, like with Chris Benoit. You know, it was such a tragedy with Chris, but with Chris, before that had happened with Chris, you know, with that, well, you know, he was so much like Dynamite, you know, one of the best in the world, you know, and he idolized Dynamite, you know, his moves in the ring and his intestinal fortitude when he, you know, he'd get out there, and you know, he wasn't as big as and everyone told Chris he wasn't big enough, and I don't know if Tom ever heard that, but Chris didn't hear it too much from anyone in Stampede Wrestling, because he was as big as Brian Pillman, but maybe in his travels he heard he wasn't big enough. I think that was something, if you're not over 6 feet tall, you're not big enough apparently in wrestling, unless you're a diva or something. But it's unfortunate with what happened with Chris Benoit, because a lot of people seem to equate Chris and Dynamite, that's what Dynamite Kid was like too, with that, how horrible things ended for the Benoit family, and nobody will ever know what happened that what led up to that whole thing. You know, is it there? I don't know if we ever will know, but I didn't think it was. There's a lot of thing unanswered questions there, and I remember in Canada they had something on the CBC News on talking about how they kept showing Dynamite's picture and Chris's picture, Davey and Dynamite and Chris, and it's like Dynamite Kid and was an influence on Chris with his wrestling style, and up until that happened with Chris, with that horrible thing that happened with Chris and Nancy and little Daniel, that I don't think anybody would have said anything negative about Chris. But then all of a sudden, he was, you know, the man that was, you know, mimicked himself after the Dynamite Kid, and it's like, you know, Tom was an intense, I think he still has intensity to him. He's just older and very worn out, to say the least, but I just don't think it's fair to compare, you know, the tragedy to, and say it was, because Chris was mimicking or, you know, idolized the Dynamite, that's what I mean, not mimicking, idolized the Dynamite Kid, and that, I don't, Tom had his intent, his moments, just like everybody, but when your moments become public, you know, if everybody, you know, everybody has things in there that they wouldn't want everybody in the world to know, and if you're one of the unfortunate ones that happens to be a public figure or be found out, you're kind of like the Ben Johnson of the world, or, you know, it's like, well, that person got, you know, everybody has their bad moments, and you know, I'm not trying to make light of what happened with Chris Benoit and Nancy Benoit, and that was so sad, and I don't even know if you were going to bring that up, Steve, at all about Chris, but it just kind of came up when you brought up, to me it came up when I was talking about Dynamite and how he's doing, and just seemed like a lot of people compared Dynamite with Chris Benoit as he was known, because of that horrible situation, and I don't think that's fair to Dynamite, and I don't know if I'm making anything clearer or worse here.
No, I think, you know, the comparisons between Dynamite and Benoit, I mean, they go back a long time. Obviously, he was a great influence on Chris's ring style.
Yeah.
But I was kind of curious, what was the root of the bitterness or the resentment between Davey and Dynamite?
Well, basically what happened was they were doing a tour in Japan. It was the last tour that they did. It was for All Japan, for Giant Baba's office. And I think it was 1989. It might have been 1990. Harry would know the correct year, but it was the last tour that they did together, and Vince McMahon was over there, and he was in the dressing room and went over and made a conversation with Dynamite and said something to Dynamite about, if you're interested in coming back to work for me, I'd love to have you or something. And Tom was very offended that he would even, you know, show his face in front of him. Like, Tom wanted to have absolutely nothing to do with him. He just had a lot of detente there, for sure. You know, Tom hadn't let anything slide with the whole thing with the Rougeaus and how he left the company, and I'm sure when he broke his back in Winnipeg, I think it was, and never really got taken care of, or, you know, he basically was just told to come back so the Bulldogs could lose the belts to the Hart Foundation, because business had to go on, and I just think Tom harbors a lot of resentment. Maybe not now, but at the time in Japan, he was still harboring a lot of resentment towards Vince, maybe in particular. And he said, "No, I don't. Wouldn't ever work for you if my life depended on it," or something along those lines. And Vince kind of made a, like, "Okay, well, you know, get out of your 5 feet of space," and, you know, and he went over to Davey. And I don't know, you know, if this was immediately after or, you know, in the next few minutes, but it was quite obvious, like, Tom was right, you know, right in the dressing room still. He went over to Davey and said, basically the same thing, "Are you interested in coming over and working for me? I'd love to have you." And Davey said, "Yeah, give me a call. I'd love to get started with you again." And that was Tom's, Tom said, basically, you know, I thought we were a team, but they were only a team in Japan. And, but I don't know what Tom, you know, their financial situation was different. Tom had his house paid off in the house that, well, he had some better luck with things, and Davey and I were in a much worse situation, and he had like a $3,300 a month mortgage, and Tom had his house paid off. He sold his 20 acres and then bought a house cash with it and still had money, you know, money to, if he, I wouldn't say he could retire on it, but he had enough money if he just did tours in Japan, he might have been all right for a while. And Davey wasn't in that situation at all. We were far from it. You know, I don't think we owned anything at the time. I don't know if we even owned our own vehicle, but that was Tom's, that's how he thought, you know, maybe he'd look at it differently if it was his, if he was looking at it as a father looking at his son with a partner. Would you want your son to lose everything to stick with his partner, or would you want your son to, you know, go on if he had the opportunity and try to make a go of things? You know, Davey never said anything negative about Dynamite. They were, you know, they were best friends at the time. But Tom was very hard to think of him as sensitive, but he's very, you know, just little things like that could aggravate him for the rest of his life sometimes. I don't know if it still bothers him because, you know, Davey's gone and so many things have happened. You know, it's kind of small in the big scheme of things, you know, that Davey had a conversation with Vince McMahon in a dressing room that lasted about, you know, 30 seconds, where he said, "Yeah, I'd like to, you know, get back, you know, start something again with the company, sure." Like, I don't know, it's just, maybe Dynamite thought they needed to discuss it in private or something, but at the same time, you know, Davey's wasn't Dynamite's, you know, he just wasn't Dynamite's puppet or anything. He had a voice of his own. But I think maybe it was time that they branched off, and I don't know. I'm not sure sometimes if Dynamite wondered what could have happened then if he had gone back, because Sky TV just took off in England shortly after, just before Davey joined with WWF for the second time. And, you know, then because Sky TV over in Europe was just like spreading, like everybody was getting it. It's like never having cable, and then all of a sudden you can get all these channels. Davey was everywhere, and I wondered sometimes if Tom saw that, and, you know, it just, maybe it was, it just made things, although it wasn't Davey's, he didn't have any control over that, but maybe it just seemed, when you're injured and Tom had paid so much of his, like, given so much of his body up for what he loved, maybe it just didn't seem, fair that he got I don't know how to explain it, because we've come such a long way with Dynamite. He's talking to people now, and I'm just so happy that he's, because to me he's influenced wrestling as much as anyone in the last 30 years, and I would not want to go backwards with him, you know, where he thinks I had, making light of what happened in Japan, but, you know, I have to defend Davey too and say that, you know, as far as I know, that was what bothered Tom, was that conversation Davey had with Vince, and maybe it just was the way it happened, you know, if Davey had had it privately with Vince and, on the phone call or something, maybe Tom would have felt differently about it. I don't know, but you know, that's as far as I know, that's how it happened, and Tom was hurt by it. And but I you know, can't really knock. No, I can't flaw Davey at all. Not at all for what he did. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. It just Tom took offense to it. And
Well, you got to take care of your family. You know, your family comes first. I was wondering your personal feelings on Vince McMahon, because obviously the Harts and the McMahons have gone back for a long time, you know, dating back to, you know, Stampede Wrestling, and obviously Brett, Owen, Davey, you know, Jim, and now, of course, Natalya and your son. I guess what's your overall opinion of Vince McMahon at this point, after, you know, all the years that you've dealt with him? What's your overall opinion of him?
Wow, that's a very good question, Steve. I know that is. That's funny. Nobody's ever asked me that before. That's a very good question. Right now, I don't know what to think. I thought our families were, especially with Brett coming back to them, or, you know, all of us, the whole family actually, after WrestleMania in Phoenix, I thought we had turned the corner, like kind of like with Dynamite. I thought we had turned the corner, and when they, I was getting discouraged with what they were or were not doing with Harry, and I, you know, kind of felt that it's Vince's company. It reminded me of my dad with Stampede Wrestling. There's a lot of things that were happening in Stampede Wrestling, and it's, especially later on when things were not going well for the promotion in the late 80s, when it ultimately shut down when my dad was running it. But I don't know if my dad was aware of everything, and it was a small, much smaller promotion. So if he wasn't aware of everything, how could I expect Vince to be aware of everything that's going on in his, I mean, he has a gigantic, you know, conglomeration. It is an enterprise. It's like a planet or something. I mean, he's got so much power, you know, and I never thought he was unapproachable, despite how much power he has. I don't know what he couldn't do, actually, you know, if he wanted to, you know, I don't know what he couldn't do, but apparently he couldn't, or that company couldn't, find a spot for Harry, so but I don't know if it, I mean, I've been thinking about it, I do think about it a lot. I don't know if it was Vince who let Harry go, or if it was his call, or if he was aware of it, but surely he had to be aware of it. I mean, I don't know. If he wasn't, then, you know, whoa, that's scary then too, for me. I mean, if he wasn't aware of it, then it's not like Harry.
Oh, I think Vince still makes the calls. I know he has, you know, Johnny Laurinaitis there, Johnny Ace, but
yeah.
I mean, Johnny works for Vince. So
if
Vince likes you, you're in good shape. If Vince doesn't like you, you're in bad shape. I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm just being
I mean, even going back, you know, with that last conversation with Michael Cole, and some people were wondering if your resentment with Michael Cole, is it personal or is it professional? Because I know you were talking, you know, you don't want to think that Michael Cole is saying these things on his own, because obviously Vince has his ear when he's talking to him in the booth,
yeah,
you know, on commentary. But, you know, everything in that company is still Vince, and then they can portray it on TV now that Hunter is running the company, when we all know Vince still is the man in charge. So we can look at it at the bottom line, it's still Vince's company, and nothing happens unless Vince oversees it or approves it. So
yeah, I heard that Vince was, you know, giving the orders to Michael Cole from the headset. And it's like, why do you want to embarrass Harry and TJ like that? Like, and then afterwards he, you know, it was like how horrible a job Harry and TJ did when they were out there. It's like, well, if you had told them maybe, that they were going to get, ambushed by Michael Cole, or, you know, giving them any idea that that's what they were going to expect. I mean, it's great. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite where I'm talking about how much I hate scripts and rehearsals and everything has to be, you know, planned. But at the same time, though, Michael Cole had an idea of where he was going with that. He knew what Vince was allowing, what the company wanted. And Harry and TJ are, you know, cautious, and they don't want to make any waves, and they just went out there, and they were just sitting ducks, and they got, and to get treated that way by somebody as incompetent as Michael Cole, it's like a beautiful lion getting, you know, attacked by, you know, a stupid fly or something, you know, it's just, and getting, you know, neutralized by, you know, a big heavy bottomed fly or something. It just doesn't seem logical, but, I'm disappointed in what's happened with things with my, well, I had always hoped that the WWE and the day of inducting Davey in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, just, I just thought that things were going to continue in a positive direction, like an upbeat direction, and I'm not sure where my head has been, because I've known for the past year that they've done really nothing with Harry, and it's not like he's some, you know, bastion booger or something, and they just, you know, so, he's just so limited. He could do whatever they wanted, it's the same as Natalya and TJ, but, you know, when you spin them around and then tell them to walk, and then you spin them around again and tell them to walk in another direction, they're getting criticized and dizzy and humiliated. You know,
going back to Vince, despite the release of Harry, do you feel like you're on pretty good terms with Vince at this point?
I don't know. The Vince that I believed in, or the Vince McMahon, I've always called him Vince McMahon. Maybe the one that I knew isn't the real one. Or the one I thought I knew from the days of Owen's death and Owen's funeral, and I don't know, maybe he wants to get so far from ever having to deal with the Hearts or, you know, Owen's death ever again. They don't just sort of bury us so far down that, you know, everyone forgets us, or we're just known as very inadequate. I don't know. It just seems like I just don't know if he's a big fan of my family's. I thought that he was. I did. I thought that he was. I thought there was some respect there. But I don't know. Maybe there is with him and Brett. There's something there still with them. But I don't know. It just seems like Vince McMahon has been good to me in some ways. You know, he's tried to help. You know, maybe he could say, I'm not going to put the Davey Boy Smith doll out there anymore, and, you know, I'm not going to put him in any more videos, and, you know, people just forget him altogether. But at the same time, I don't see Davey out there as much as I see some other wrestlers who have done a lot less and are older than Davey. And I don't know, maybe Vince just thinks it's time to, I don't know, Steve, I'm kind of in a, that's such a good question. I'm
you know, I was thinking back to an interview I did with Road Warrior Hawk before he passed away, and I said, describe Vince McMahon, and he said in one word, complex.
Yes.
And that's what it's, well, that seems like what you're describing. He's very complex.
Yeah, he is.
He's hard to describe at times. He's, at one time he can be this way, and another time he can be this way, and another time he can be this way, and another time he can be this way. So he's a hard man to read at times.
Yeah, I just don't, I don't know where we stand with him right now. I wasn't taking advantage or thinking, you know, he owes us for anything other than just that our families have been together and have produced good things for his company. Like, I'm not saying he owes us for, other things and that some people might, you know, I don't, he, you know, I just think that hard work and, you know, what you're, I can't, you know, if he had given Harry a chance, like, a, you know, maybe someone say, well, he had a chance, he was, but he didn't have the, they didn't do anything with Harry, honestly.
They
didn't, they just wasted him and, I'm not thrilled about that, and I don't understand Vince's logic. And if he was a fan of Harry's, or of his dad's, or of mine, you know, maybe he can't stand me. But that sounds very egotistical that I would even be brought into it. I'm sure if he finds me to be an ultimate pest and, just generally annoying, then, I still don't believe that he would take that out on Harry. You know, just, you know, I'm just not that important to him. But I thought Harry was that important, and Davey was, and my dad was, and not for any reason, nothing to do with Owen, but just because they were assets to his company. They were wonderful people to have in his company, and for Vince to have befriended. They trusted their careers with Vince. You know, they trusted their livelihoods with Vince. Can't say that my dad died a happy person, even though he wasn't bitter, but I can't say that Davey died a happy person. And right now, I think Harry is happy that he's doing things, but maybe, you know, doing things on his own with Strikeforce next year and his tours and stuff all over the world, and he's getting people are seeing him. They'll see what they haven't seen on TV. They'll start seeing that now on YouTube. And but if you asked me a couple of months ago how I felt about what they were doing with Harry, I would say, well, you're wasting him, and he's wasting his life. You know, it's like I don't know, like trying to have kids with somebody, and you don't want to have anything to do with them until maybe they're 40. It's like, well, it's, you know, the childbearing years were a lot, you know, were 10 years ago, or, you know, Harry's only 25, so he's, but they've had him for a long time, long enough that they could have done a lot of things. You know, he had so much, still does have, he has so much promise, but it's discouraging, and I don't understand why, you know, and it just, when I saw how they let Ted go, and then I saw how they let Harry go, it's like, you know, it isn't just a conspiracy theory that Ted had, or they were, you know, I never did anything wrong, and they let me go. Some people said, well, he didn't do what they told him to do that day, so they let him go, and you just do as you're told, but you know, Harry always did as he was told, and they let him go. I'm not sure. And in defense, and to defend that even further, they never, they kept promising Harry things, too. Like, they kept saying, your big push is coming. We have these big plans. You're going to be the next big thing. And So Harry just was sitting in the dressing room or sitting in catering with his cowboy hat on because he was told he had to wear it. He didn't mind wearing it either. It was a Calgary thing, but, and my dad always wore a cowboy hat too, but, you know, just to sit in catering in your suit and the cowboy hat while everybody's talking about, you know, what they're going to do in their match that night, and maybe to do that, you know, for a couple of months while you're getting over an injury or you're getting started, but for months and months, and then you add up how many months of that over the years that was the case with Harry, that's really kind of rotten to do that to him. But he's taking it much better than I am, so.
And I think probably someday he'll be back with Vince.
Yeah, I hope that Vince is there when it happens, so he can see what. Like, I hope he's.
Oh, I think Vince is going to be there, be around for a long time.
It looks. I'm not impressed with who they supposedly have running the company right now. I'm just not. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I mean, I'll clarify that. Whoever is calling the shots right now, like if it's the writers, like, who makes the final decisions? Like, do you know, Steve, who makes the final decisions with the writers? And the writers are always on this like revolving door. It's like, and how does one writer who's been let go, and the next one replaces him? How does he know where that was? The direction was going, you know, they don't even know half the time what the history was with, like, I don't think that the writers that did the thing with Brett and Vince had any idea where, you know, with, I don't know how they, if they knew about the Montreal thing or Owen or, you know, we're all supposed to be apparently upset about Brett and Vince in Montreal, but we're not supposed to be, I know it would be in bad taste to even bring Owen's name up, but, you know, behind the scenes, did any of the writers even know, or did they just walk off a soap opera set and they're 21 years old or something and they just strolled off from some other TV show and they're going to just start writing a storyline for Brett and Vince and this feud? It's like, well, if they didn't know, then, ultimately, Vince must be the one, like he said, calling the shots.
I know with the creative that Stephanie is definitely involved because she's one of the top writers there, obviously. She's obviously Vince's daughter, so she has a lot of influence there. But, you know, you're seeing a lot of the writers, as you said, soap opera writers, a lot of them come in and they don't have a history of wrestling. They don't understand what the connection would be with Brett in Montreal in 1997 with Vince McMahon. So they're brought in to bring a soap opera dynamic to the set, and yet, you know, these wrestlers have histories and their families have histories, and they don't understand it. But at the same time, you would think with Stephanie and Hunter and Vince around that somebody could at least give them some idea of what these characters mean to the fans.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for kind of pulling me out of that, because I get on these pointless tangents. But thank you for clarifying that for me. That's what I was trying to say. It's just, I just get so.
You get emotional. I mean, it's your family. It's your, you know, it was Davey's livelihood. Now it's your son's livelihood. Obviously, your past. And as I said, the history with Vince and your family go way back. So
yeah,
there's a lot of passion there.
Yeah, and he can do. Basically, you know, he has so much power, he can do anything he wants, so, you know, he could just, and he doesn't seem to want to do anything to accommodate us, or my family, so I wonder, you know, did he ever like us at all, or did the horrible thing that happened, the tragedy with Owen, did that force him to have to, you know, be nice to us? I mean, I don't know, it seems so real and sincere. I mean, I don't know. I've thought about it so much lately. I really have. I'm kind of, it's like, was I that fooled? And did I buy into it? I know, is Martha right? Am I that? I start to really wonder what, like, I don't regret at all that, and I will still say it was an accident what had happened to Owen, but I just feel like, you know, maybe Vince didn't like my family at all. He really didn't. I thought that he had so much respect for my dad and my mom. And after what happened to Owen, I thought it was just intensified. I thought that he thought even loved them even more. And when I heard Vince talk on an interview after my dad's funeral, he said that my dad was such a decent person after, in the funeral ride home, in the limousine ride home after Owen's funeral, Vince and my dad were in the same limousine, and Vince said on the TV interview that my dad was so decent in the, I see it, my father and Vince talked about Owen's death, and when my dad's funeral happened, they said, Vince McMahon, how do you feel about Stu Hart? Any comments? And he just said he was such a decent person. And, you know, it's not like Vince has found out something that my dad did now that's changed his mind. My dad is still the great as he always was. You know, he's still the same, a wonderful person. So what's changed? You know, Vince is still alive and he's still in control of things, and he's basically, slammed the door on, I'd say it in a different way, defecated on Harry, and in my opinion, that he really didn't do anything nice for Harry. It isn't about being nice either, Steve. I don't want to sound too fluffy there.
You just want to give the guy, just give him a chance. You know, that's what it comes down to. They did absolutely nothing with him. Just give him a chance.
He is so good, you know. I'm partial to Harry because I'm his mom, but he's been through an awful lot. I mean, I find Harry to have the best of my dad and Davey, you know, as his composition, you know, his personality and his genetics. He seems to be the best of all of the, Davey was the best of his mom and dad, and you know there's so many good things in Harry's genetic makeup, and he's got so much integrity, and he's a big guy, and he can wrestle, and he respects wrestling, and he doesn't talk behind people's backs or make he doesn't have a big head or he's just such a fine specimen. I think I have that right to defend Harry. You know, Harry can say my mom talks too much, but he can say that. But I also, as his mom, can say that he really wasn't given a fair chance there. And I know he'll go on to bigger and better things, and he'll be happier. But still, what a waste of the last few years of his wrestling career, of his life, not just his wrestling career, but of his life, just sitting and catering with a hat on, like the horse stuck in the gate, and all the other horses are getting let go, and some of them can't even run a straight line, but they're getting, the pat on the back, putting a jackass like Michael Cole out there. You know, and that was all just for Vince's viewing pleasure. And it's like, well, whatever, but, yeah, so, but.
Yeah. I wondered, too, what's your relationship like currently with Brett?
Oh, it's good. It's good. He's been, my daughter Georgia and Harry were up in Calgary with him over Stampede Week, and, Harry cooked dinner for Brett up there, but I had texted Brett before Harry got up there, and I said, Harry and Georgia no one knew Georgia was going up there. Harry felt bad for her. I think he just thought she didn't have much of a, just some things were going on. So he flew her up to Calgary, and I texted Brett and said, Georgia and Harry are coming up. And he texted me back just some funny stuff about his dog, Jojo, and he told me to hang in there. And I just did, you know. Yeah, this was before we found out about Harry ever being released. So the last time I texted him, that's how I keep in touch with him, or emails. He just told me to keep a cool head and don't say too many disparaging remarks or something like that. He was, because I was you know, the text that I sent him, I just was really upset, and he said, well, just keep a cool head right now, and you know, it was all, you know, very fresh. So I know Brett's I think after WrestleMania, just that whole family reunion and everything, we've all come around a lot, and I feel very proud of Brett, and I feel close to him, even though I'm, you know, far away. But I haven't seen him since. Actually, I haven't seen. Oh, I saw him in September of last year, almost a year ago. I haven't seen Brett in about a year, but I feel close to him, and I feel I could confide in him and get good advice. And when he tells me to hang in there, I think he knows I get. I have a lot of depressed thoughts and just kind of on my own down here. I don't have a lot of. I you know, I have support from Harry and Georgia, but it's just hard sometimes to even though and I am on good terms with Brett, but it's hard just texting people or emailing. I wish I had somebody, you know, I wish that it was Davey, but you know, that's obviously not gonna happen, you know. You know, what the psychic told me was, you know, Davey told me that I need to get moving on, and but it's well, I really appreciate the, you know, if I get a text from Brett, it's quite a highlight for me, you know. And I could have had you know, been having dinner with you know, Brian Adams or something, it would still be a highlight for me to get a text from Brett. Like it's a very special thing to hear from him, and we're close, but I wish I was maybe back in Calgary. I could see him more often and, you know, just maybe get to talk to him in person, or like he could see my face when he talked to me and tell me what I need to do now, or how, you know, give me, I mean, I'm too old to be saying I need help from my parents, but, you know, give me some sort of fatherly advice from a brother kind of thing. But he tries with the texts and emails and stuff. And I really appreciate that. He's been good with Harry in this whole thing. And, you know, I'm really glad that we did that thing at WrestleMania. As funny as that sounds, you know, going, how almost bizarre it was to go down to ringside and see Brett hit Vince with a chair of like 13 times as hard as he could. It's like, it sounds almost, it sounds sadistic to say, you know, it brought our family much closer when we all gathered around ringside and saw Brett, you know, bend a steel chair around Vince's head 13 times. But it did. So it's just the whole thing. And the Hall of Fame was a momentous occasion too, you know, and so, yeah, so I'm one of the Brett Hitman Hart disciples, one of the millions out there.
And our final question for Diana is, when you're out and about, you know, in public, are you recognized? Do people know, still, you know, say, hey, I remember you, you're Diana Hart from the Harts?
Oh, it sometimes it happens. It's just so, you know what, I think it's, when it happens, I always think that it's my mom and dad letting me know that they're around. because it's always so nice when that happens. And it seems to happen a lot when I'm having a really difficult day or week or something. Well, day, I guess. And someone will come up to me I am thrilled when that happens. It is so nice to have that, and what the people say to me is so nice. And a lot of that has to do with, it's not what I did, it's what my mom and dad did, and Brett and Davey and Dynamite and Owen and the whole family. You know, I wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for them, and Harry and Natalie, and to be recognized, it's really thrilling. I'm just so glad. I wish it would go on forever. And I don't know how that is going to happen. You know, I don't want to put too much pressure on Harry, but any kind of, like when Harry left WWE, Georgia said that it's not supposed to happen that way. She had had this belief in her head. She said, it's not supposed to happen that way. Harry's supposed to stay with that company. She just said, that's not right. That's not what Davey would have wanted. And so now he is, though. He's on his own, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. And when Harry does go back to WWE, it will, I'm sure, be on different terms than how they got Harry in the first place. And, you know, yes, I'm thrilled. I love it when people recognize me, and it does still happen. And it happens down here in Tampa, Florida, and it's happened to me in England and California. And just to have somebody come up to me and say, are you Diana Hart, or I knew your father, and in a city that I've never been in before, it's quite a privilege.
Yeah, I mean, the hearts have definitely touched a lot of lives, that's for sure, over the years. So, and we do appreciate Diana's time tonight. And before we wrap up with you, why don't you again, we mentioned DianaHartBookings@gmail.com, and go ahead and plug your Twitter and Facebook one more time.
Oh, sure. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Sure.
I have my Twitter account. I have my Facebook account, which is Diana Hart. Twitter is Diana Hart Smith. If anyone wants to book me for appearances or interviews or something, it's Diana Hart bookings@gmail.com.
I got it. It's dianahartsmith.blogspot.com.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay.
And of course, if they follow you on your Facebook, you have a lot of family pictures up there. They can see how I know you take pictures of your vacations and things, so you can get pictures of you and your daughter and Harry. So if they want to follow you on Facebook, they can do so. And you're also on Twitter at Diana Hart Smith. So that's how people can get in contact with you, the fans out there.
Yes, and they can find out lots of stuff on Facebook. They can find out about my interests and the vacations, and we're heading over to England for Christmas to see Davey's father and sister, and, hopefully have a computer there. His dad doesn't own one, but hopefully I'll have a computer. I can let people see what Davey's dad looks like. He looks so much like Davey. It's just what Davey would look like when he's in his 70s. He's a very nice-looking man, and we're going to see some wrestling fans in London, and we'll take pictures of all of that, and, hopefully I'll get the hang of this blogging. I can start talking a little bit more about, even if I can get some feedback from my brother Smith. He's got such a good insight in wrestling. And
yes, he does.
He really does.
He really does. Yes, I enjoy talking to Smith very much, and I follow him on Twitter. And I agree with about 90% of things he says on his Twitter page for wrestling items. So if you're not following Smith Hart, you should also follow Smith. He's very knowledgeable. Obviously, been in the business for pretty much his whole career, his whole life. So
yeah,
a great guy to check out his thoughts on what's going on with wrestling.
Did you know that Smith had the very first Hart that Davey ever wrestled was Smith, and that was over in England before Bruce ever met Davey.
No, I did not know that. No.
And before Davey ever came to Canada, that Davey wrestled Smith in England. So it's you're a great host. You're so polite and you're so respectful of my family. I really hope that I can meet you in person one day and talk to you some more, but maybe I can know more about your family. You're a smart person. I would love to know more about you and, you know, where you grew up. And there's more to you than just a wonderful voice.
Well, I appreciate that. And we'll definitely stay in contact with Twitter and Facebook. And as I said before, the Hart family is obviously meant a lot in my life, you know, being a wrestling fan for as long as I have. And it's always an honor and pleasure to talk to the Harts. As I said, I've talked to Smith. I've talked to you. I've talked to Brett for, I think, a two-hour interview back in right after Owen's passing. You know, he was super, super nice. And I said, Brett, is there anything you don't want to talk about tonight? And it was right after Montreal. It was right after Owen's death. And he was very cordial. And, I talked to Natty before she got to WWF. So the Harts has always been good to me. So I like to return the favor, and as I said before, I definitely appreciate your time tonight, and we wish you guys nothing but the best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Steve, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.